Hello and welcome back to Podcast on Fire, episode 78. I am your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me this evening, we've got Ken.
Hello! It's been a while.
Yeah, and, well, I don't think it's been a while for our audience. We have managed to, like, slowly release, like, a drip of podcasts to keep them going, but...
And a commentary, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm, and for us talking, it's been, like, a month.
Yeah. Although, well, 1.5 months even, dude.
I was going to say, it feels like six.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like almost married now. What's happened? It's been a while. So, yes, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You can contact our show via email, which is podcastonfire@googlemail.com. You'll obviously take into consideration that we've not done this in months, so I will probably get a lot of things wrong tonight.
Well, the email address is correct, sir.
Yes. So, I just punched the desk. Okay, run with it. We are on all major social networking sites. So you could throw us a tweet at Podcast on Fire or post on our wall over at Facebook and just basically support the show, man. So, website updates. Ken, you've obviously updated something, please.
Well, I'm not doing anything with the website, really. Right, okay. I'm not doing anything at the website, but the website is having currently, as of this evening, a Young and Dangerous feel to it. So you all should check out Stu's Young and Dangerous article. But stuff that will be visible on the website in the form of a podcast soon is we're focusing on one special at a time. At least I work best that way. So the third part of the Jackie Chan extravaganza bonanza. A-thon is coming up. Really, it's been a bit slow because June was a bit choppy. I was sick. I was away at festivals. But finally, I'm done with the basic research, basic biography. So right now, I'm just waiting for the announcement of what films to watch and focus on to discuss during that podcast.
Miniature drum roll. Yep, so I think everyone could expect our first choice. It is Drunken Master 2. Yep, no surprise.
Yay.
There.
Yay!
Next one following that, we do have the great Rumble in the Bronx.
A key movie.
Mm-hmm. So it is really the yin and yang of Jackie's career. Two completely different films. And, that's the fucking best reason to talk about them, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the key films in many regards, especially Rumble, as we'll discuss, is the start of a major breakthrough.
And for our lucky, lucky members only, we will have an extra discussion on the 1995 movie Thunderbolt.
Yeah, rarely gets discussed, but it's going to be interesting to revisit that again. Not my favorite, but very watchable in its own right, and it's got Michael Wong!
Whoa.
Hiya! And I think and it's definitely sync sound, so prepare for some English dialogue, people, if you haven't watched Thunderbolt. But it has like a plethora of either English cops or English English speaking villain henchmen. So it's good fun, and a racing movie nonetheless. I mean, that was exciting back in the day, a Jackie Chan racing movie.
Yeah,
but I guess it was needed because he was injured at that time. He had to sit still in the car, pretending to drive.
Yes, definitely pretend to drive. I remember those sequences. Anyway, we'll save that for the podcast.
Yeah.
Site updates on my end. We have up-and-coming reviews, which include Tokyo Gore School.
That is video and from Japan, I guess.
Yes, definitely from Japan. More likely, yes, definitely some V cinema there. I don't dare look into this movie. I'm just going to watch it and see what happens.
but having said that, I'm going to just briefly plug a thing I did on the website. I did a review of Robo Geisha, which was my first taste of this V cinema revolution that's happening. Revolution in a good way or a bad way, depending on the people you are. Not too bad. I wish it was more gory, but the video aspect didn't really bother me because it was pretty well shot. It was not evidently video, it was digital video, and it does feel a bit more film-like in that regard. Mm-hmm. And it was fairly crazy, the movie. I wish it was more crazy, but it had energy and decent fun. So check out that review by me.
Mm-hmm. Was I right in saying that was the one where the geisha sort of turned into like a Mario Kart at some point and drove along a building?
Yes, sir.
That is like one fucking weird film.
That was funny. It was a kaiju ending, essentially. She was chasing this big building that was going to drop a nuclear bomb into Mount Fuji, I believe. So it was a good ending, but the stretches of that film didn't really work. It needed to be more outrageous, and I think it was ultimately way too long. It needed to feel 100 minutes, yeah, doesn't sound too long, but to me, that kind of entertainment needs to be tightened. And but it didn't take itself too seriously, a little bit, but not too seriously, and overall, decent fun. And I recommend a rental in that case. And you have it on your UK market, folks, so an easy rental for Love Film or what have you.
Exactly. Speaking of Love Film, they do have actually this great deal on at the moment. This podcast will be online whilst this offer is still in play. The Love Film player, which you basically, I think it's just like Netflix for the States, where you do actually get to watch movies streaming off of their websites. We have compiled a list of like at least 50 Asian movies that you can watch off there for free. Everything from The Chaser, Thirst, Old Boy, random ninja movies, the old Bruce Lee movies,
Fantasy Mission Force.
Yes. So, man, take advantage whilst we still have it. And, yeah, just go for it. Sign up to Love Film. You don't need to be on their Platinum package, but if you are on the Platinum package, you get it all the time. But for cheap bastards like me, take it whilst we have it. So, other reviews, we have Looking for Jackie, the 2009, I think it was like a mainland China production. It basically looks like a TV movie, sort of like the boxing film you done a few years back.
A boxer story.
Yes, but for our lucky UK audience, we are getting Looking for Jackie released under the funky title of Jackie Chan and the Kung Fu Kid. thank you, UK market. Thank you.
That's a stroke of ingenious fantasy there. Mm-hmm.
So
wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. They could have like extended it to Looking for Jackie Chan. That would have been enough. But no. They are geniuses. Mm-hmm. They are geniuses.
They've realized the Karate Kid's coming out and. It's almost an identical cover. It's a different kid doing a different style of kick silhouetted on the cover. So it isn't a split kick, it's like a flying kick now. Smart bastards.
Yeah.
So, other than that...
So someone's getting fucking paid for that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is clever, because it absolutely is clever. It's cheesy, but it's clever.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
So we also have a review of the Thai film Force of Five, which basically looks like the Thai version of Spy Kids. Kamui, the pronunciation is terrible. It's Kamui, the lone ninja from Japan, which also features Eakin Cheng.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, what the fuck? Maybe it's a cameo, I don't know. Just out of nowhere, Eakin Cheng's in it. And most likely, I'll probably also be throwing up a review of the Chaser, the Korean film, which also brings me on to our last movies watched. The Chaser is actually one of my last movies watched. Our Korean correspondent Mike Banner did discuss this movie to great lengths last year. I think there was also a great heated conversation between him and Adam Terrell whether the movie was worth it or not.
Exactly, but having said that, Adam Terrell didn't like it because he'd seen many movies like it, but for audiences who'd never seen that kind of Korean movie, they would probably like it more. So it was not like, shit. No, it ain't. It's brilliant.
I think I actually did get to that point.
Okay.
Jim back, it'll be worth a listen. The Chaser is basically the story of an ex-cop turned pimp who's out to catch a serial killer that has been killing off a number of his call girls. And you're thinking, right, that's our 2 hours. This is what we're getting for the next 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But that's actually rounded up in the first 20 minutes.
Holy shit.
You're like, right, whoa, what? Well, they've caught the bad guy now. Now what? So it follows the story of like the lone pimp who's looking for his call girl who has been kidnapped. So basically, they've caught the killer, but none of them know where the killer lives. So, like, where's the victims? Where's the people he's holding hostage? So that's our catch.
Mm.
So it's a damn good film. I've not watched a film a Korean thriller that's really got me this wrapped up since Memories of Murder.
Oh, that's a great film. I'm glad you liked that film because it's such
a damn good film.
Yeah, I'm very glad you liked that because it's a slow film. Nothing happens in that film for long stretches of time, but it kind of reminded me of Zodiac. After I seen Zodiac, I thought of Memories of Murder, to be honest. Really cool, very cool.
Yeah, but there always needs to be like a time, like every couple of years, I always need to pull out Memories of Murder and watch it and just in awe.
Yeah.
It's for like two reasons. For the fact that Korean police officers seem so fucking crooked, and for the fact that I reckon for some reason it's always awesome to see like Korean chase sequences where people are just running uphill. That was like the majority of the chaser. I'm really gonna have to like speak to Mike Banner and see if Korea is just one big hill. That's how it is, people running uphill. I mean, man, the fucking Chaser is one of these movies that really had me biting my nails, in the sense I'll be turning around to Margaret because I couldn't really face the fucking what I was watching on screen, and I had to turn around and basically tell her what's happened in the past half hour so she could feel the same torment that I was feeling.
That's cool.
Like the killer's kneeling down on a woman holding a hammer and chisel to her skull, and I'm looking away because I know sometimes these Asian movies will show you the fucking it'll not cut away for the shot.
This is shit that Ken watches.
It's just that, and especially last night after watching the trailer to what also looks like the next Angry Man movie, as it's been put. I Saw the Devil, Kim Ji Woon's next thriller, which fucking Choi Min Sik, old boy, plays a serial killer or a psychopath or something along those lines, who goes and kills Lee Byung Hun's fiance. And fucking Lee Byung-hun just happens to be like in the Secret Service. Huh. And this trailer is just showing you like a montage of violent action and hammers being swung and...
Hammers again.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many moments in the chase that kills me.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't think it's in a rental, available as rental here, but it's probably the way I'm going to see it eventually. But
for some reason, it is dirt cheap over here. You could find that on DVD for like under £4.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to buy it for the fact that I can get it for like £3.50.
Is it who's putting it out on DVD? Is it Terracotta?
No, it's... I think it was Metrodome, like the company that used to shit on movies before by re-releasing like Hard Boiled with out of sync subtitles and a phasey blue picture. But yeah, now they've been doing things like A Battle of Wits, Assassin's Blade, and like The Chaser, and they've actually done like decent legit releases of these movies.
Is there a Blu-ray of it over there?
I don't think so. I think this was really before Blu-ray started capturing the eye.
Right.
Because it came out, I think it came out last year on DVD. Because I think it was around Fright Fest when Mike Banner had seen it originally. So I think that was about the summer, and then by Christmas it was probably out. But right. Man, it is dirt cheap on DVD. I think I am actually going to order it like when we're on break.
Right.
Strike while the iron's hot.
And therefore the question answers itself. Does it deserve the 120, 140 minutes or however long it runs?
Oh yeah, this movie is like a minute shy of 2 hours, so, and it's good. It's definitely worth it.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
one minute shy.
Don't get your hopes up. There might be an extended edition. You know there is somewhere. There will be a 2-hour edition somewhere.
Yeah.
They've chopped a lot of deleted scenes of like cops beating up witnesses.
Well, Korean movies, if they're good, they deserve that running time. I mean, I watched Breathless, and that was like over 130.
Yeah,
flowed like, you know, it was very good. It was very captivating. I'm glad Korea makes like these small movies as well. Character-driven movies, not pretentious fucking movies either. Breathless is just a straight movie, very understandable, and if you can get past the swearing, then it's I mean, wow.
But yeah, it was a good
Guinness Book of
film.
Records, here we go. No.
So other than that, I did happen to watch a little movie called The Storm Warriors over the weekend. Actually, I think I've watched it twice now. Yeah.
That little indie movie that no one saw. Yeah,
Yeah. Oh, apparently no one liked, but still.
fuck that.
But yeah, Storm Warriors, of course, is the giant sequel to the Storm Riders movie from 1998 or 99, somewhere about there. So this time it's a case of Simon Yam playing an evil warlord, and the only way to stop him is basically Ekin Cheng and Aaron Kwok reprising their roles as Wind and Cloud. But
Ekin Cheng and Aaron Kwok as Ekin Cheng and Aaron Kwok. Stop Simon Yam.
unfortunately, it isn't enough to defeat him. So basically, it is the ye old kung fu tale of both of them's gonna have to go up separate mountains and learn new styles, then combine their styles and whip his ass. But
Nice and neat. I like that.
it's a little bit different. Aaron Kwok goes and learns some new moves from his original master, whereas Ekin Cheng is accepted to learn these dark arts, which could overtake him. So he
Right.
is learning this dark art, which will give him some super martial arts skill.
A
But
little bit
if
of Legend of Zoo baked in there.
so if he basically lets it run wild, he ain't gonna come back. So there is the moment where it's like if I turn evil, you'll have to kill me. Like that moment where it's like don't hesitate and kill me. It's that movie moment. Right there at the start, and oh no, he's gonna have to kill him. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed the film. First time I watched it, I was like, yeah, that's good. I liked it. Watched it again with a commentary on, which gave me a chance to sort of just look at the film and just, oh, of course, I had it running in the background, so I could watch it just like glances. And the CGI in this movie is fucking amazing.
By the way, so to stop you there, for people who don't know who is on the commentary.
Oh, Bay Logan done the UK commentary for the CineAsia release, which
Wow.
is on shelves now. Which should be ranked at number 11 at your local Sainsbury's in this week's DVD charts. I think they added an extra one to it, but yeah, 11. What do they know? So,
But you were talking about
it's got some kick
watching the
ass.
movie a
Yeah,
bit
it's
more.
got some kick ass. CGI work to it. It looks so flawless. It's like when you watch those Transformer movies where it doesn't look like CGI, it looks real. It looks too real. Like the fucking sword fights they have here in this movie is brilliant. There's great scenes where Aaron Kwok's trapped Simon Yam and it's almost like this razor wire spider web. And the web's being pushed down on him and it's slowly cutting through his armor and it's got the perfect sound effects. The graphics are amazing. You could just see the armor slowly being cut away. It's just an awesome movie.
It doesn't really surprise me that the CGI is good, because the Pang brothers, usually with their movies, they employ different companies and manage to get good results out of the CGI work. I mean, going back to the Eye, it has simple CGI work, but like the scene where Angelica Lee's room is changing at the same rate as that pendulum, or whatever you call it, in the clock, like tick, that simple, good CGI. And going ahead to Recycle, which is heavy on the CGI, it's supposed to look a bit fake, but still, I think their talent, their sporadic talent, includes well, rather, they have sporadic talent, but their great talent is making sure their movies have good CGI. And it's not surprising to me that you say that this heavy duty CGI movie looks good and not, disturbingly fake like most CGI movies do today, especially in Hollywood.
But yeah, it's even to the point where the movie actually won the Hong Kong Movie Award for best CGI. So it obviously it is done really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically that's the movies I've been watching recently. What about you, Kevin?
Well, I'm just going to ask you a question. Do you need to watch the first movie to understand
No,
this?
they don't relate back. There is like sort of like one returning character, but she is played by a different actress. I think it is just the case. It almost starts in the middle of a story. Like Aaron Kwok and his master are already chained by like chained and ready to be executed by Simon Yam. But they do manage to, well, that's when shit kicks off. They break free, fight begins. There is like no relation to the past story. This storyline could have easily just been 10 years later. Then it starts. You don't need to know any of the history.
Right. Well, it's good that they didn't rely on people having watched the first movie, a TV series, or read the fucking comics, or it's good that they did that.
Yeah, and well, I find that it might be a little biased, but it's like fuck, this is like the first Pang Brothers movie I really enjoyed in ages. So weird,
Well,
but
I'm not surprised about that either, because the movies I've watched over the years, they have about 30-40% at best really good moments, and the rest are so uneven. Recycle, and I so know why you don't like that film, because it has some disturbing sides, but it takes a while to get going, and when it does, it doesn't save the movie. But it has some great moments. I just wish that they could make a movie like The Eye again, which is good all right, overall. It is really horrific. It is scary. It's emotional, because you're really afraid alongside Angelica Lee's character. But they haven't really been able to do that again. So the talents talents that only pop up occasionally during their movies, but. Yeah, I'm going to watch this to see, because it's a different movie. It's not a. Their other movies are not special effects extravagances like this. It's no Abnormal Beauty or no Recycle, definitely. My last movie's watched. A Chinese Torture Chamber Story 2. Right. You're going to be hearing lots more about these kind of movies from me, because I recently made a decision to. With my site, SoGoodReviews.com, focus more on the stuff that the category free stuff, the exploitation stuff, because that's the stuff I love writing about. I get a kick writing about that stuff. And so I've pushed away other movies that I usually review in a big way, the big review, the video review, in favor of movies like this. A Chinese Torture Chamber Story 2 is the in name only sequel to the. Wonderful, a Chinese torture chamber story, which people have seen. Most people have probably only seen a clip of that movie, and it's the basically the crouching tiger, hidden dragon, but instead they're having sex in the air scene
Oh, yeah.
with Elvis Choi and Julie Lee. This was obviously done way before Crouching Tiger, but they use the different sex techniques in the air. But they're husband and wife, sort of fighting and having sex in the air at the same time. And other aspects of Chinese Torture Chamber Story are equally memorable, because it's a great schizophrenic movie. It's got cruel torture and parody of Ghost and kind of an emotional love story as well. It's just a wild, wild movie. And then it took 4 years until Wong Jing, who produced the first, had a. He never stopped producing exploitation. He did Ebola Syndrome in 96, produced that. But he, in 1998, he had a strategy, seemingly, because he brought back this series, although it stopped at two movies. He brought back the Rape by an Angel movies in a big way and produced like three or four in 1998. Ironically enough, none of the ones. Two through five were category three, but they are worthy in their own right. As an aside, they have wonderful titles after the Rape by an Angel. They have an extra title, so Rape by an Angel 2, The Uniform Fan, Rape by an Angel 3, Sexual Fantasy of the Chief Executive, and fourth is the Rapists Union.
Okay.
And yeah, exactly. And the fifth, the final judgment. So it's so. Anyway, back to Chinese Torture Chamber Story. So it's directed by Dick Cho, which sounds fun, but He's a director who's done like dramas and tried movies, not really made any distinctive movies. He's not one of those directors that you can say, well, he does these kind of movies. His trademark is this and this. But this movie is probably his best because it's despite its way past that those prime years of Category 3 movies, 94, 95 essentially, it's still quite enthusiastically and confidently comes like running out of the gate with plenty of flesh being cut off, cruel torture, and fountains of blood. And the funny thing is, I read a review and I can't believe I didn't pick up on this. It's actually the same story as Blood Brothers, the 73 Chang Cheh films at Shaw Brothers. But it's nothing to be mad about because it's a real life incident, I believe, and Wong Jing is just basically, well, why not tell the story again with an adult perspective and a bit of a more female perspective. So it's about this General Ma. He's going to the capital, and he's played by Mark Cheng, by the way, of Rape by an Angel 1 fame. Hmm. And he was in War as well with Jet Li. Yeah. So he plays this this character who's going to the capital to change things, to be a political figure and try to get changes in society. And he meets up with these poor people who's resorted to robbery and inspires them and like says, you can come and work for me. You'll have a place in the government and we'll change things. And essentially they're pawns in his game, as it turns out. And it leads to something, you know, at the beginning of the film, just like in Blood Brothers, leads to the assassination of General Ma, in this case by a woman, the wife of one of the two characters that Mark Cheng's character has inspired. So she's put through cruel, slow torture while the flashback happens. And it really is a... It really is like an effective dark movie. It isn't at all funny. It's not supposed to be funny. It plays it out dark, and it has like the budget to pull off quite a lot of what it wants. I mean, the gore effects are quite good. The prosthetics are quite good. There's that flesh, cutting off one piece of flesh torture, is well done, I mean, it's what drew me in, that it's not deep as such, but it has like this dark, sexual, sadistic, bloody nature to the film. And it surprised me that it could pull all that off and be harsh on the audience. And I mean, a few highlights. It's not about the sex, because the sex scenes take quite a step back. You instead have the torture scenes, which are not as plentiful as the first one, and the first one was more proud about having the torture scenes in it. It even displayed, like, at the beginning of the film, like, these were the torture devices of this and this dynasty. So it was proud of it. But here, it just happens, as a matter of fact. So you have, like, General Ma torturing prisoners by involving a warm steel penis shoved up you-know-where. As an interrogation tool, yeah, and it's actually you see an aftermath shot of that. That is really disgusting, and it's in the movie. It's in the movie. It's not cut. It's in the movie. You have hot wax poured into ears, tongues being ripped out, hearts eaten, and the most show-stopping moment. Mark Cheng, his woman for the night in one scene. He rapes her with a paintbrush. A large paintbrush, which connects to sort of his abuse in his childhood. So this is a dark character, a controlling character, and that's why the movie, has dark fates for characters too. But it's really one of those classic Mark Cheng performances. He makes a good Category 3 villain. I mean, he's great in Rape by an Angel. One as a great comeuppance, as we've discussed many times before, but not revealed, because you don't want to have that revealed, what his comeuppance is in that movie. But yeah, it's a great film, a Chinese Torture Chamber Story 2. 1998 had some Category 3, let's say, chops. And that this adult perspective on the Blood Brothers stories is not as cheap as you would think, despite Wong Jing producing it. It's very, very good. I would all watch the first one over and over again because it's so nutty, but this one would make a nice companion piece. And the woman, by the way, in this very, very sparse filmography, but she is Yolinda Yan, who was in Bullet in the Head. She's this woman that the trio meets in Vietnam, who's this night singer. And she's basically trapped in Vietnam. Her passport is taken away by this local gangster boss. So, like, Tony Leung vows to take her away with him. So she's in that movie, very, as a sad face in Bullet in the Head. It's basically the same here. She has a sadness about her. And for the first time, takes a close-up in the movie. So she looks good. I mean, really, if you watch a lot of these Category 3 movies, cheap movies, the women in it, they're not always lookers. You know what I mean? but she has a great face and a great body to go along with the genre. So good on her. So it's good fun. Nothing I'd recommend to you, Stu, because I know you're a bit squeamish, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're a pussy or anything, but it is quite. I mean, the first movie, I think you'll have an easier time with. It has some graphic stuff in it, but it's it's one of those schizophrenic Hong Kong movies that does everything. So I think you'll ultimately would have fun with it. But this is more harder to take, to be honest.
Okay. That's cool with me.
I never contemplated watching it anyway.
So, let's take a wee break. So, back from our break now. I'm going to answer this quick question here. Chen Lung on the forum asks us, can you tell us one or two films currently unavailable, currently available, censored, that you wish to see in an uncut state? Now, I think Ken's probably seen a lot of movies that have been heavily censored than me. So I would think... But no, I'm going to take the ball and run with it. Because Ken could actually have my answer. So I need to get my say out there first.
Yeah, go for it.
So I think the one that's most notable to me that has been heavily censored, and, well, everyone knows about it, is School on Fire.
Yes.
Because wasn't that originally supposed to be like almost, well, it was like a, not a proper documentary, but filmed as if it was a documentary.
It was just very critical. And I mean, essentially, that critique was a critique about what the triad involvement connected to schools and connected to young people in general. I mean, it was such a harsh critique, hard, angry. And violent too as fuck. So I mean that really was too much for censor. And it's insane how much is missing in some territories of that movie.
It's to the point where I don't think we will ever see like this, like, whatever missing footage there is, because like, do you think films like that still actually have this big following today, actually in Hong Kong?
No, it's too old. I mean, it's too old for someone to take.
Do you think there's still a market for like old Ringo Lam movies? Well,
no, not really.
Well, maybe Chow Yun Fat's ones, but
yeah,
they did do like a Prison on Fire box set, or maybe it was a City on Fire box set, but that was like those Fortune Star,
yes,
ones along the lines of like the Once Upon a Time in China and Chinese Ghost Story box sets, like those. What? Heavy overpriced bastards of nonsense.
well, School of Fire lies with Fortune Star, and they were gonna release it remastered. In the end, it was released unremastered, as many of these legendary collection from Joyl sales are, and it was the same cut version that's been on Laserdisc and VHS and VCD. And it's nothing wrong with that edit of the movie.
No.
It's a fucking great movie, but as you correctly pointed out, it's like, it isn't the market for it, and no one is going to take the initiative to go down and see if this missing footage is archived somewhere. And no, and then you have the point of people are putting out this movie. They probably, some of them, irresponsible people don't even know that it's cut. They just are releasing the movie and then are done with it. So this fan following is more like with fans of the movie, and fans of the movie aren't the ones handling the DVD releases, naturally. So I doubt it, but it's not the worst fate for that movie currently, because you know what? It played like, I think it was, not even 70 minutes, maybe even like 60, 62 minutes in some territories I read. So imagine if we'd been stuck with that edit of the
movie. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was just too much of a social critique, and it was sensitive at that time. And I mean, it's really clear that Ringo Lam was at his most angry when making this film. And if you ever saw Wild Search, the Chiang Fat Cherry Chung movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's him mellowed out. It's Ringo Lam-esque, but it's a romance. It's a nice, like, sort of subtle romance. It's nice at times, it's violent at times. And so it's him, like, exhaling. And it's one of his best movies to boot, Wild Search. But yeah, it's a good example. And don't hold your breath, folks. Mm-hmm. That's my recommendation. Buy the DVD now that it's out finally. Yeah, we want the DVD.
This will be like my probably third version of it, because I remember when you had gave me an actual copy of the VCD, and your only thing was like, circulate it. You didn't like. I was like, okay, how much for this? I said no, just like, it's free. And I was like, right, this is rare at the time. Joy Sales had nothing to say. Mm-hmm. On the matter of the Legend collection and all that stuff. So I, when I received it, I then made three copies and then passed it on to three friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, right, well, this is the only thing we could do, is let more people know about this movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we did get the VCD, which I instantly bought. And then I think amongst movie bands, a DVD did come out, and I've just like remembered about it through this conversation. Like, I need to buy that as well as The Chaser.
Yes.
Not any different, but still...
Ah, well,
just the fact that I won't need to get up and change discs halfway through. Yes.
But it's like, it would elicit a sort of a reaction when you're watching that movie, because it's like, holy shit, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Especially the ending of School of Fight.
Oh, the movie was awesome. The ending was so good.
It's one of those you read about, the final reel is very violent. You read about that, yeah, it was. This lives up to this and more. This is crazy, you know, is it chopper violence. It's cops versus triads, among other things. It's just insane.
It's almost terrifying as well, with the girl being bullied by triads, and you're thinking, oh, this is like, you think it's just a movie, but it could have happened to so many people, and it's scary. It's a scary film.
And despite Roy Jung looking outdated because of the wardrobe, I think it's his most scary performance as this greatest triad bastard ever in films. And of course, Lam Ching Ying playing a cop, really great supporting role. And it's a breathtaking film, really. And I read a very fascinating quote from Ringo Lam where he said, like, because you know his violence is more gritty rather than balletic and slow motion and what have you. Mm-hmm. And he said, I really, really carefully create this type of violence and choreograph this type of violence with my action director to make it look that. It's not something that happens automatically. It takes so much time out of me, so much planning. And no wonder, you know, it looks so good and feels so... tough to watch. I mean, even City on Fire, there's an opening where this triad kill this undercover cop, not Chai Fat, but another undercover cop, and they stab him in a market, and then it's this shot of him, yeah, exactly, with the sheet and the blood on the sheet, and it sounds like, you know, wow, how scary. But it's
shocking.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't take more than like it's simple effects, really. But it's the genius of Ringo Lam. I truly believe in when he says, "I planned this out so carefully and obsessively." Even, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So School on Fire, you know, watching in its current form.
Yeah, highly recommended.
Yeah.
So, Ken, have you got one or two films? Because to me, that was the only one that really jumped to mind. Possibly, maybe, I don't know, Her Vengeance, but that was such a depressing film. I think I've only ever watched it once.
It's the one I have on my list, but I'm going to explain a little bit why, what I think of this in general. I mean, many movies are released cut and will, as we just discussed, will remain cut, and that'll be the end of it, and they're still pretty good in the current versions. And some movies do come out in acceptable uncensored versions. Maybe it's a dubbed in English version, but still uncut, and therefore we have it. Although it's a bit rare, we still have it, and that's good enough for me. There, a few examples of that is The Headhunter, which is an early Giant Fat movie, 82, 83, I think, was released on DVD as Long Goodbye, and it was a completely changed edit of the film. They cut out a lot of plot points. So I went ahead and bought a budget DVD dubbed in English, which is uncut, and that's fine with me. Therefore, I have it. So and you have Island of Fire in that regard. Bullet in the Head. Nowadays, the DVD that Joy Sales put out has a lot of, if not all, of the cut footage that was available in the famous festival print, and even the alternate ending is now, you know, obviously in circulation. To Bullet in the Head. Run and Kill eventually got an uncut release in Germany. It was violence cut from that movie. So minor things, but still uncut. So you have that in a luxury edition. And the final example I'm going to mention before talking of Her Vengeance is Troy Hawk's Dangerous Encounter First Kind, a.k.a. Don't Play With Fire. Also a movie that was cut for his social commentary. But he was either forced to refilm, or someone else refilmed other stuff to, you know, replace the social commentary he had and replace it with something that's more acceptable. They didn't just cut it out. They wanted to replace it with something, which they did. But in France, they located, when releasing their edition of the film, they located some of that Choi Hak's original footage and made a composite version of the film. So you could see the uncut one. It's only subtitled in French, and the found footage, albeit subtitles, is very low quality, so you can barely see the subtitles. But still, it's out there, even though I can't watch it currently. It's out there. But Her Vengeance still bugs me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I have it, the first VCD. That was a short VCD rated Category 3 with all the violence. I have that, and it's good enough. But Fortune Star only have the longer, less violent Category 2 edit, and which has many scenes and many alternative events leading up to plot points. But it's that edit that's now in circulation, and I've always been a believer that when comparing the two, I can totally see that some scenes in the Category 2 edit was originally in the Category 3 edit, because it's very tightly edited at the points. It seems like too abrupt. The lead up to the rape scene is way too abrupt in the Category 3 edit. But I'm still a bit bugged that Fortune Star in the end only made available that one, even on DVD. I saw it first on when I bought their VCD and saw the running time. I thought, like, whoa, cool. Like 10, 12 minutes longer, and then there was no violence left. Barely any violence left. So, but it's the same thing with that. Albeit the original VCD, Category 3 VCD, is very rare today. It still had a chance to get out there, and that's fine with me. I'm just such a big fan of that movie and School on Fire that you kind of get bugged a little bit, but it's nothing that will change anytime soon. And if it does, it's by random luck. So someone in Hong Kong thought of something, you know, just, well, there's something lying there. Let's release it. And it turns out to be the uncut of Her Vengeance. I truly believe there's a random luck in how things work in Hong Kong sometimes. But we're not going to talk about the big boss because I don't give a flying fuck about that saw in the head scene. I like the film. It's a very good film, partially, and an important film, but I don't give a flying fuck about that saw in the head millisecond thing that people go on and on and on and on about. I mean, give it a rest. And what why you should give it a rest is because all these like stories, I have it, I've seen it, I have it, and I've seen it. Well, show it to us. No! Just a bunch of fucking liars. So, give it a rest.
Well said.
Yeah.
So, I think we've covered that question.
Yeah, why not?
It might mean the show runs a little less tonight, but hey, you're getting your fix, aren't you? Yep. You know you're all coked up like the rest of us. So, plugs. I think we need to do some decent plugs tonight. I did throw out a post on Twitter just to our audience, which we now have over 100 followers.
Yeah. Thanks, yay!
No prize. So, basically I just asked for praise, you know, polish the ego. And yep, that ego was polished from Dan in Leeds, who is more than happy to accept our babies.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'll retweet the message later. So,
thanks, Dan.
There should be other things. There's definitely other things I should be.
Well, for us Edmond Pang lovers, we should say Love in a Puff is on DVD and Blu-ray in Hong Kong finally.
Yeah.
A smoking comedy with Sean Yu and Miriam Jung. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely. I'll be. Fuck, I might just pick that up now.
Yeah. Category 3! Mm-hmm. Smoking comedy.
So, yep, there's that, as well as the Love Film Player that's still available. We've got that until, I think, the 25th of July.
So, hey, people, watch Fantasy Mission Force and tell Stu on Podcast on Fire what you thought of it. Mm-hmm. It's free. And Jack, you're chasing your chicken, apparently. What's there not to like?
So, other than that, let's see. Come on, there's got to be something, Stuart. Nope, head's hollow. Should have done my research.
Well, any cool updates on releases, DVD releases, Blu-ray releases, will happen on the main site, podcastofire.com. So.
Yep. We've got releases so far of the Goemon DVD and 14 Blades. And yet, you could laugh at my horrible puns for posts. For Goemon, it's go on, buy this DVD. Or 14 Blades flying your way this August.
Ah, that's sweet, sir. You know, the Jackie Chan and the Kung Fu Kid thing with the documentary, they're doing the same thing, so just follow, you know, you're following a good trail.
Yeah, and Chan Barra Striptease gets its out for all the lads. Yes.
Ooh, a puzzle. A word puzzle.
So, other than that, yeah, keep an eye on the website. I'll be trying to post as much reviews as I can. More reviews to come. So keep an eye out on that. There's no other articles at the minute, but have a look at the Young and Dangerous article. It was written, like, I think almost 5 years ago now, which is scary.
When Stu was 12 years old.
When a lot of it I had to rewrite it again. I actually feel like it should be rewritten for a fourth time now, but
well,
I'm not going to be picky. I'm leaving it.
Exactly, but you know, you have some research to do for the upcoming Young and Dangerous commentary, and it's a good time to revisit the whole universe in that regard. So, you as I said, you're before off mic. You're in that mode now, the Y&D mode. So. Exploit that.
So, yep. Any plug, Ken?
Probably when this podcast comes out, you'll be seeing the first taste of like the constant stream of Category 3 rated material on site. I did put up a review of Devil Angel with Vivian Hsu, which was a very popular review. They always are, these kind of reviews. I'll be reviewing the next 2 weeks, Dimension, A Chinese Torture Chamber Story 2, along with a video review with carefully edited out.
Very well edited.
Yep. Well, I need to do that, and also when this podcast comes out, the review of Spike Drink Gang will probably be out. Yeah. It's basically the same movie as Wilson Yip's Days Raper, with the guy injecting ether into soft drinks and robbing helpless victims, and then he has some helpers that are perverts. So neither movie is any good, actually. But Elvis Choi is great in Spike Drink Gang. He is a scene-stealing performance, which you'll read about and see in the form of a video review probably by the time this podcast is out. So enjoy that and a lot more Category 3 rated material. I might go back to the classics, the Sex and Sense trilogy. I might complete that. I haven't seen the first. I might go back to Erotic Ghost Story trilogy. But right now, I probably will focus on more of the unknowns, Category 3 stuff that people don't talk about. And occasionally, maybe a review, an oldie. Re-review an oldie. So it's gonna be fun. Just downloaded a movie called Girls Unbutton. So that's gonna be fun. I think it's it's not Vivian Hsu. I think it's Loletta Lee.
Ah.
In her naked face. SoGoodReviews.com.
Cool. So I've been your host for this evening. I'm Stuart Sutherland.
Kenneth Wilson.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye. But they're a husband and wife, sort of fighting and having sex in the air at the same time, and it's insanely crazy.
Ah, fuck you, telephone call.